President Tanner and President Romney and brethren, Sister Kimball and Sister Tanner, and I have to honor Sister Spafford and Sister Jacobson who are sitting there in front of us. It's a wonderful thing to be here. I've been watching the mothers and the daughters put their arms around each other in turn in this great building, the wonderful renewal of friendships. This is a very special time for us, and we thank you, brethren, for giving us this opportunity. The sweep of sisterhood fills this tabernacle as I speak to you from Temple Square, and it goes across the world to all of you women who are gathered together wherever, who love the Lord and who want to learn more about Him and His will for us as women. I'm conscious of the many who can't be hooked in with us tonight, especially those who aren't English-speaking, and I yearn for the time when we can all join together under similar circumstances. May such a time as this fill your hearts and lift your spirits and give you hope and help you sort out your thinking and fortify you so that you will always find yourself on the Lord's side, sisters, in a world that is bent upon pulling us women in another direction. Now, for some time, there has been an enormous fuss made about women. Some of it has been made by women in honor of themselves. But I'm not sure that girls are any safer on the streets or women any happier in their lives, or that any of us is any more effective in our service, and I'm not sure we're any better looking because of all of this furor. But it has been an interesting season. Now, for all that this is the day of the woman, I pay tribute to you, brethren, who lead us, who bless us, who pray over us and with us, and who would gladly raise their voices more frequently in our defense if only we would let them raise their voices. I'm thankful to be a Mormon woman, and I'd be ashamed and I'd be deprived if I weren't one, Sister Shumway. It is exciting to be an active participant in the very best-kept secret in history, and that's how much is being done for us as Mormon women and for all the women in the world by these our brethren that I pause to honor at this brief moment. LDS women are not only protected, they are privileged, and life is full of incredible and unique promise for us. So you brethren, we love you. We marvel at all you are and all you do, and we honor the priesthood of God which you bear. And we appreciate the errand that is yours. And we women want to help, not hinder. Now, sisters, it's about being a help and prepared helpers that I would speak to you now. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians something that expresses my feelings for all of you, wherever you are and whoever you are and whatever situation you find yourself in life. But we were gentle among you, wrote Paul, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. And so, being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. And so what we say tonight, we say in gentleness, but not without strong feeling. The women of this church today need to be prepared, personally prepared. First, to stem the tide of error that is inundating the world and threatening our families and our traditional lifestyles and short-circuiting the power of individuals. And secondly, we need to be prepared because though we have great brethren to lead us, we need to know for ourselves what is truth and what is error so that we can make valid value judgments. So much depends on this. And thirdly, We need to grow and develop so that we are prepared to contribute. We each have a mighty errand of our own to do. Now, sisters, remember, a woman doesn't need to stay in her house to be in the home. And neither does she need to leave her home to extend her influence to others. Either way, she'll be more effective on her errand if she has studied the gospel and reached up and beyond her own first associations. And the sooner we start this preparation, the sooner we'll soar. Proper preparation for service doesn't happen overnight. Growth is gradual. Line upon line, one strength upon another is built. One day a little girl, next day a woman. Sunrise, sunset, the nostalgic sun reminds us. And so it is. Tonight you may be 12, but suddenly you're in a holding pattern just past 40. Now, recently I stood with Sister Kimball while President Kimball greeted the little children at an area conference, and suddenly a young mother-to-be rushed toward her and threw her arms around Sister Kimball and hugged her and said, "Oh, Sister Kimball, you're so beautiful, so serene, and so supportive to your husband." And then she cried afresh, and when she found her composure again, she said, "Oh, Sister Kimball, this is what my husband says I'm supposed to be." Well, Sister Kimball is a woman. That is all that that sister said and more. But she spoke quietly to her and she said, "Never mind. It will come. I wasn't like that at your age either." And the young woman went away comforted. The beginning wasn't the end. And she lifted her head in hope, as I believe we all must do, and moved steadily forward in ultimate faith that the end can be better than the beginning, wherever we start. I don't deny the struggle. It's the essence of Eden. But personal progress is what this life is all about. And we must begin at once to work our plan of life, deciding to whom and to what we will give our fullest attention, our highest loyalty, and our deepest commitment, and which leaders we will follow. I plead for a stir among the sisters of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints for intelligent and prayerful preparation for performance that is in line with what our Heavenly Father wants for us personally and what He needs for us to do as women. He lives. Oh, He lives. And He cares. He knows. He understands. He will help us. And He has established this church and called a prophet to lead us. Keep close to the Lord and listen to Him, sisters. Keep close to the prophet and listen to him. And keep close to the church and the programs and its leaders. Now, President Kimball spoke at General Conference in April about people and plateaus and the critical need for each of us to grow and to get off the constricting ground and move forward. Was anybody listening? Individually, are we moving forward as rapidly as our growing church? Or would we have drowned in Noah's day or been caught polishing the golden calf with Aaron's people? Our lack of personal progress can impede the Savior's work. I don't want to seem simplistic, but sisters, let's move it. Like our brethren, we have a mighty errand of our own, and it requires our best preparation. Our constant reaching out to learn, to grow from the lessons of life, and to learn from our leaders and from the Lord. There is so much to do. There are so many who don't know what we know, who don't have what we have, sisters. So may we be gentle and affectionately desirous of others as we impart not only the gospel of God, but our own souls to those who have need of us. It is, after all, the only cause grand enough for a woman's precious energies. I love the Lord, and I love you, and I love our brethren, and I pray that we may all be blessed to be what we ought to be when we ought to be it. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.